Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give Jesus another clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. The sonship of Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at the introduction to the sonship of Jesus Christ. And we talked about the importance of believing the Word of God. But no matter what anybody would achieve materially in this world, if he does not believe the Word of God and accept Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, all will go to waste. Even if he gained all of the material possessions of this world, Jesus says it is no profit if he forfeits his soul. And we said that people run after money so much they forget about God. Whereas anything that money can buy is definitely perishable. We're talking about that this afternoon, and I told somebody, I told my friend, I said, look at World Trade Center, those mighty towers. How long did it take to demolish them? In a flash, everything was gone. So we have to believe in Jesus Christ. And we said that believing doesn't mean that you have to believe something. Like the Muslims say, I want to bang a call, but we also believe something. So you say you are the only bad boss, the believers, but we also believe something. And that believing does not have to do with just believing something. If that were the case, then the idol worshiper believes something. Like I said in the book, even the atheist believes that there is no God. That is believing something. Okay. The thing to believe is what God gave to us to believe. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. If you don't believe that one, you are an unbeliever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then we talked about simple faith and radical faith. And we said simple faith just means you believe the Word of God, period. God said it, it is true, I believe it, that's it. And that radical faith is faith put to work, to bring about something that we can see, a miracle, like the working of miracles. Like Joshua, who told the sun, you must not set. I have a job to do. Stay there. Don't set. That was radical faith. The prophets of old exercised a lot of that in a lot of things that they did. Hallelujah. Okay. But that in believing the Word of God, what you are believing may not really be understood by you. You are not required to understand it before you believe it. Praise the Lord. But then we said that if you have believed something, it is good to now want to understand it. Because knowledge reinforces your faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, knowledge reinforces your faith. So that you are likely to last longer when you understand why you are going through what you are going through. Faith sustains you because you understand. Do you know that the Bible says of our fathers in the faith? They believed God for a city built by God. They lived in tents all their lives, believing that they are going to live eventually in a city built by God. The Bible says, even though they never saw that city like this until they died. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I say to people, why do we lift up scientists who in trying out their inventions get into accident and die? For example, those who invented the airplane, they did not start by flying like that. One attempt was made. Somebody said, it must be possible for a man to fly. He believed in it. He got feathers, glued them to his wings. He did not know the biology. He did not know avian biology. You follow my point? He just understood engineering. So history says he went to a very high place. Then he jumped. Then he crashed. And he died. He became a hero. Praise the Lord. So sometimes you see a believer who holds onto his faith until he dies. He's not foolish. He's not stupid. He's a spiritual hero. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Tell the one who's sitting by you, hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. Believe in the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. By the grace of God today, we'll go to chapter 1, in which I treated some things about the beginning. I'll try to move fast. And then I want to touch on part of chapter 2, and then we'll finish with chapter 2 and the conclusion on Saturday at the outreach. Amen.
Amen.
So before I go on with what we'll do today, let's have a word of prayer. Most righteous Father, we thank you, Lord, as we go back into your word at this time. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, our teacher, ever faithful, ever sure. Holy Spirit, do it again today.
Amen.
Reveal Jesus to us more than ever before.
Amen.
We want to know him more.
Amen.
We want to love him more, understand him more, believe him more, and obey him more. Thank you, Father, as you make it possible for us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
So chapter 1 says the beginning. By the way, I have copies of the book there. It's only 17 naira, I said, so you can pick one up. And all of the passages are in the book. Genesis 1:1. We want to understand something about the Trinity. The Trinity. The Godhead of the Trinity. So we start from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Question, was that the beginning of God? No. God was there in what was called the beginning here to create certain things. Frankly speaking, by the time that you go to verse 2, you are going to see that between the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2, there is a vacuum. Because when God created the heaven and the earth, God did not create a formless earth. No, no body of his caliber will set out to create something that has no form. Do you follow my point? Not even any of us here. Praise the Lord. There's a period between the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2, which is referred to as the dateless past. Nobody knows how many years lie in between. What we can tell is that the earth became devastated. God destroyed it. Do you follow my point? But at this time, God was re-preparing the face of the earth, this time for the habitation of man. Everything that he made before he made man was for man to eventually use. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, we know that there is somebody called God who was there in the beginning to do the work of creation. And God himself has no beginning. Isaiah 43:10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God. There was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Amen. No God has existed before me. No God will come after me. I am the only one that is God. In the Bible, gods are referred to, gods with a small g, but they are no gods. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They are no gods. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was ministering to a lady back when I was in Ghana, and I was going to cast out one demon in her, and the demon said, I cannot go. I said, but you have to go. Said, she is my wife. I married her when she was in grade 4, primary 4. I said, and who are you? What is your name? Said, I'm her father's God. So they gave her to that demon. I'm her father's God. I said, okay, her father may call you God, but to me you are no God. You are just a demon. Praise the Lord. To me you are no God. You are just a demon. And because God did not join her with a demon, I can put you asunder. Isn't it true? He said, it is what God has joined together that you cannot put asunder. What God did not join together, you can put asunder. So I said, devil, in Jesus' name, get out of her. And he left. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are, the only God that there is our God. That is all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the word God as used is Elohim. Elohim, which is the plural form of the word God, which you may now use as gods. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You see, the Yorubas, we have some cultures that are very similar to the cultures of the Jews. We use plural for one person. You know that?
Amen.
Okay, so they also do that to respect somebody. Okay. For them, the same plural is used for many people. So, Elohim as used here, was it used for just one person or was it used for multiple personalities? That is the question now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we substitute Elohim as the gods in Genesis 1:1, then we get in the beginning, the gods, the gods created the heaven and the earth. But verse 2 begins to shed light, telling us about the Spirit of God brooding on the face of the water. Praise the Lord. If God is a spirit, then the Spirit of God must be God. Isn't it true? So quickly we identify one member of Elohim there, another member. One is God. One is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That makes two. Then we go on. Praise the Lord. As we go on, starting from verse 6, let me read. Genesis 1:6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Verse 7. And God made the firmament, and divided the water which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Now, is the Bible talking about one person? Listen, you go to somebody's house, the man stands. He says, now, let us cook yam. Then the man goes to the pantry, he brings out yam. Let us make the fire. Then the man goes to make the fire. Let us put water on the stove. Then the man goes to get water to put it on the stove.
They are going to say,
is the man okay? Won't you say that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. God was expressing a desire, and somebody else there called God was going to do it. Hallelujah. That plural language is used so much in Genesis 1:1 for creation. So let us know there was more than one entity. Hallelujah. If you read verses 14 and 16, verses 20 and 21, 24 and 25, just go and read the whole of Genesis chapter 1, and you will see this as it comes again and again. But when you get to Genesis 1:26, Genesis 1:26, listen, and God said, let us, plurality, make man in our image, after our likeness. Now, are we still talking about a single person?
No.
No. No. So, in Genesis chapter 1, we identify God. Then we identify God who was making things, God who was asking for them, and the Spirit of God who was moving as things were getting done. Praise the Lord. So we identify those three entities. They are the ones that we call the Godhead. The Godhead or the Trinity. Hallelujah. And the final light comes in the Gospel of John chapter 1. Verse 1. Somebody knows it ahead. Will you just say it?
In the beginning
was the Word.
And the Word.
The Word was with God.
And the Word.
The Word was God. Verse 2. He was with God in the beginning. See, the Word who was God was with God in Genesis chapter 1. Are you with me? Go on.
All things were made through him.
So, when God was saying, let this be done, he is the one that was making the things.
Yes. And without him, nothing was made.
And if he wasn't there, God could have expressed a wish, but it would not be carried out. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And if you read on and on, finally he identifies him as Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Finally, I identify him as the Christ. He wasn't called Jesus in the beginning. Until he came, he wasn't called Jesus. Hallelujah. But he had always been the Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, if we go to Genesis 2:7, Genesis chapter 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Hallelujah. Man became a living soul. And John in that chapter 1 said, the Word is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. And in him was what?
Life.
Hallelujah. In him was life. So he gave that life to Adam. If he was the one that was making the things, when the Bible said God molded Adam. Abi, that was the Word doing the molding. You remember the song? For thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. For thy pleasure they are and were created. Look, somebody just expresses a desire, a wish. Like a big man, Colonel Big Man says, I feel like taking a bottle of beer. Somebody goes to get the beer. You are feeling his pleasure. Are you with me? Okay. So God the Father just says, let this be done. This is what I want. And Jesus, remember, said, I always do the will of my Father. Always do the will of my Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 In verse 14, John said, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. So what was made flesh in Adam? Hey, I said in Adam. Dust. Yes. Dust. In Adam, dust was made flesh. In Jesus, what was made flesh?
Word.
The Word was made flesh. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul explained, one was made of earth, and he behaved like dust. Do you follow my point? That's what he said. Said what? The last man, Adam, is the life-giving spirit from heaven. Praise the Lord. The word spirit was made flesh, not dust. Perhaps that was why he couldn't see corruption. Praise the Lord. Because the statement, "For dust art thou, and thou shalt return to dust," does not apply to him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It didn't apply to him. Glory to God. So we see the Trinity at work in the beginning. And now, knowing the relationship of the Christ to the Trinity, we proceed with our work to look at him as the Son of God. Hallelujah. And that takes you into chapter 2. My first question, who is the father of a child? Chapter 2 has the title Son of God. Okay, Son of God. Now I ask the question, who is the father of a child? Yes. They say the father is the father. Thank you very much. It's good. The husband of the mother is the father of the child. What if the child, what if the mother got pregnant by a concubine? Who is the father? The concubine is so. Who is the father of a child? Thank you. He is a doctor. I don't know why mothers are saying this. I thought the mothers would help me the most. Don't worry, we'll get to you on Saturday. The one who planted the seed. It doesn't matter whether the man who planted this is the real husband or a concubine. It makes no difference. The father of the child is the man who planted the seed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is the father of a child. It's interesting. But basically, you have this feeling that if a woman is going to get pregnant by a man, what must happen?
Sleep together.
You see, the mothers are using the language. See, the lawyer said intercourse. The mother said they must sleep together. So you lay on the bed, I lay on the bed. So what is the problem? There is no problem there. Praise the Lord. We can use biology here now. They must basically have intercourse together. Have sex. That is what we believe. Is it true?
Yes.
Is it true?
Not.
When may it not be true? Okay. Look, today we know that by the wisdom that God has given to human beings, a man may be in Japan, a woman may be in Lagos, Nigeria. They may never have seen each other, never known each other, but the woman can get pregnant by the sperms of the man who is in Japan. So must there be sexual intercourse?
No.
Now we are knowing better. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter where the man is. Look, you see? Yes. That's the point. There are cases in court now in the United States based on what we're talking about. Paternity suits. A woman has received artificial insemination because her husband was not fertile. Normally, it is supposed to be a secret. The man who donated is never supposed to know where it went to. But somehow the secrets come out. And the man who donated says, "My heart is yearning for my child." And he goes to court. He says, "The child is my own. He came out of me. I want my child." Hallelujah. Should I want my child? You think that is the end of it, but I am emotionally attached. Praise the Lord. So we put that in mind. We put that in mind. Then we go to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I'll just read. And the angel answered and said unto her, that is to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Praise the Lord. So the passage says the child will be called the Son of God. Can God have a child by a woman? Can God have a child by a woman? If you say no, raise up your hand. If you say yes, raise up your hand. Can God have a child by a woman? You say yes. Okay. You may put, if you say no, raise up your hand. Feel free. Don't worry. The Muslims say, no way. Why will God take a wife? God and a woman, insult. Yeah, if God was having sex with a woman, that would be an insult. I agree. But must he?
No.
Must he?
No.
Is God bound by the laws that he made for man?
No.
What the Bible says of God is that he sits on his throne and he does whatsoever he wants. What can you do about it? Like it or don't like it? If God has set limitations for man, will he use the same limitations on himself? No. Hallelujah. No. So why do the Muslims say that he cannot have a son by a woman? It's because they think they are respecting him. But too bad. There is no respect in it, because you are saying that God cannot do something in any way that is different from the way that you do it. So how does that respect God? No. Hallelujah. No, that doesn't respect God. But whether you look at it from the side of human beings or God, something must happen. If somebody will be the father of a child, we said that it must be the man who planted the seed. What is the seed? When he mates with the woman, he has to transfer the seed into the woman. Have it? So what does the seed contain? Well, what does the sperm contain? I don't want to look behind me because there are doctors and nurses. He says genetic materials. Have it? The ingredients of life. Lower language. Heritable materials. I hope that is okay. Heritable materials. Materials that can be inherited from the man are transferred into the woman to initiate the pregnancy. So if God must have his own begotten son, there must be some way that God would transfer his own heritable materials into Mary. Do you follow my point? Today, when there are paternity suits, and there are lots of them in the US, they take the two men and they take the child. They take DNA from the two men, they take from the child. They run the DNA test and they come back. They say, we've got the result. Joe, the child cannot be your own. The child must belong to Dan. Because you can see the profile. You don't have to be a scientist. If they run the profile, the DNA profiles, and they show to you, you can see where they are similar and where they are different. Praise the Lord. So if God will be the father of the child, there must be some way that God has to send his own heritable materials into the mother of the child. So what did God do? Let me talk briefly about God's heritable attributes. Or God's attributes. Because God must have attributes. Hallelujah. He does have attributes. Now, Some of God's attributes are definitely heritable. Some are not heritable. I'll give you examples. The heritable attributes of God would include things like the fruit of the Spirit. Do you follow my point? See, which God can give to us when we believe in Him, and we inherit those things as what? Children of God. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1, he says of us who believe in Christ, we are no longer the product of flesh and blood, nor of the will of man. We are born of God. Hallelujah. So we receive his heritable attributes like the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. But then there are others that we can receive. Adam, when we look at Adam, you will see. Praise the Lord. I'll keep that for a minute. Let's look at the non-heritable ones. The ones that we cannot inherit from God, even though we'll be children of God. Can somebody tell me one thing? God is omnipresent. What does that mean? It's not complete. He's everywhere at the same time. Have you? God is everywhere at the same time. People can believe that the devil is everywhere. It's not true. You see, somebody was asking me a question back in the United States. I don't remember what I was teaching about. This came up. And he was asking questions about invisibility, something like that, dimension and invisibility. And I said, look, a spirit appears before you. In the spirit world, speed is nothing.
Yes.
You travel at the speed of thought. I think of New York and I'm there. You follow my point? So I can be in Lagos, Nigeria now. In the next 5 seconds, I can be in New York. To a human being, if you were talking on the phone within 5 seconds to somebody in New York, you saw me now. 5 seconds, the other one is seeing me. Both of you are on the telephone. It is as if you saw me at the same time. Are you with me? Because 5 seconds is so little. You might think that you both saw me at the same time in Lagos and New York, but it's not correct. Hallelujah. God is everywhere, all the time. He doesn't go to and fro, like Satan said in the book of Job chapter 1. God, no, why will God be going to and fro? It's not possible. Hallelujah. Amen. So, what else? God is omnipresent. We will not be omnipresent. You should know the others. God is omniscient. What does that mean?
He knows everything.
He has all wisdom. He knows all things. Yes. And he is what again?
Omnipotent.
God is omnipotent. What does that mean? He can do all things. There's nothing he wants to do that he cannot do. We will not be able to inherit those there except for God. What else is there, very important, that we will not inherit from God? No, but right now I'm never going to die. Me.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That's what Jesus said. He said, anyone who is living who believes in me will never die. I'll pass from this life into better life. I will not know death. Do you follow my point? So eternity has started for you here. It's just that for now you are just here. The only thing that will happen in the future is a switch. That is all. When you're weeping that somebody died, the person doesn't see himself as dead. He simply sees himself elsewhere. Do you follow my point? It's because you are here, you say he's dead. Praise the Lord. Okay, there's one more thing. You will never become the creator. He will be the only one who has created all things. You are not going to inherit that one. But thank God, he gave us the power to manipulate what he has created. You can tell this mountain to move from here and go into the sea. You follow my point? But you are not going to create a mountain. Glory to God. So that tells us about the non-heritable attributes of God. Now let us look at the making of Adam. The Bible said, Genesis chapter 2. God had said, let us make the man in our image, after our likeness. And he said, let us give him dominion. Have you? Over all these things. Don't worry to enumerate them. Praise the Lord. So, God molded the man. Have you? And when he molded the man, he didn't stop there. You remember when he made the other animals, let the earth bring forth. He did not do any wahala. Let the waters bring forth the fowls and the rest of them. Okay. Now he has molded the man, a lifeless mass. Now the Bible said, God did what?
Breathe
into him the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. So the lifeless mass is lying there. If you wanted to breathe into his nostrils, what will you do? You go. And what do? Over him and breathe. When God did that, what was God doing? Transferring heritable attributes. Life is an attribute of God. Are you with me? God is the root of life. He was transferring into him his heritable attributes. So he became a living soul. Hallelujah. You look at that process. It's very close to what a man does when he wants to transfer an attribute into a woman. The man comes to the woman. Over the woman. Have you? Oh, yes. Very close to that. Except now, things are being transferred spiritually. Not carnally. Because God is not flesh and blood. But the process is the same. Except that one takes place in the physical, the other is now taking place in the spiritual. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And he became a living soul. Now, God had said, let us make the man in our own image. You follow my point? After our likeness. Now, what does image refer to? Okay, if you saw somebody by your house who gets clay and starts to mold something with a head, what is he doing? What will you say that he's making? That's an image, isn't it? Aha! See, image refers to form. Form. So when he was molding him, that is our own image. Basically, there is a deeper sense to it, I'll tell you. After our own likeness. Some commentators say both mean the same thing. No, both don't mean the same thing, because we can pull it out later in the book of Genesis. Likeness refers to the character content of man. Hallelujah. Let him look like us and behave like us. Why will you look like a dog and behave like a cow? Do you follow my point? Wouldn't that be ridiculous? You see a dog that eats grass. Do you follow me? Or you see a carnivorous cow. You see, that's a problem. If you look somehow, then we can predict your behavioral attributes. Praise the Lord. So God basically gave to Adam the ability to behave like a son of God. See, I was talking to some person who came to the early bird program, the Muslim that we were talking to, and explaining things to them. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Was sent to this man that was sitting. Listen, who has access to the bedroom of the father? Is it the child or the slave? They said, Omani. Mm-hmm. A rule, let go. You follow my point? Mm-hmm. Please call yourself slaves of God. When did he capture you? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, after Adam became a living soul, if you have invented a product, it's common abroad. Too bad we don't invent too many things here, but some people do. You have to test it. Praise the Lord. A new car has come out. You can see how they test them for stability, for maneuverability, everything. You have to test, because if you don't do, there is a body that will do the testing for you. And if you fail, they will tell the whole world, this one, now what? You follow my point? Okay. You have to test it. So, listen, whatever Adam inherited by heritable attributes, God did not have to confer upon him. But what he did not get by heritable attribute, God had to confer upon him. You follow me? For example, let us give him dominion. Nobody gets dominion by heritable attribute. Even if you are inheriting your father's throne, it is not because it was passed to you genetically. Do you follow my point now? It is because it is a position of your family and you ascend to it. There is no genetic test to show that you must be the one who ascends the throne. So, the things that he did not get by heritable attribute, God conferred upon him. But look at something. The Bible said, God brought all of the animals before Adam to see what Adam will call them. What do you call that one? If I put something your way, to see how you are going to address it, what am I doing? I'm testing you. Am I not testing you? That was a test. Let us see how intelligent he is. We have made him like us. He has received heritable attributes from us. Let me tell you, you do inherit the ability to be smart from parents. Do you know that? Oh, yes. So the Bible said God brought all of the animals before him, and Adam started to give them names and to classify them. And God stood there looking, and saying, good, very good, beautiful, beautiful. When he finished, the Bible said, God did not mark anyone wrong. Give Jesus a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God did not mark any of them wrong. Whatever he said, God said, perfect. There was one place that he could have goofed. Thank God he did not. Because at the time that God did that, God was basically looking for a wife for him. Do you follow me? At the time that the gorilla came along, if he had said, my darling. Praise the Lord. Thank God he did not say that. No, he just rejected all of them. This is not compatible with me. Check this name and go. Don't come near. Glory to God. Glory to God. So then, God tested him and saw that he was sound in the mind, like a child of God. If you remember at the early birth program, we were saying to those Muslim men, those elderly Muslim men, we were saying, praise the Lord, we were saying, when a child comes and has access to the father's house, can he enter without knocking? They said, "Shebi yaraba ben." You follow my point? It's so beautiful. They said, "It is his father's room. Why must he knock?" Can you see? The Bible says we have free access to the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is so good. The Lord is so good. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, again, talking about attributes, heritable attributes, because we want to see that indeed, a spirit being can transfer heritable attributes into a human being and produce a human being that will reflect those attributes. And you remember, the Bible said it came a time when the sons of God did what? Went in, Abi, unto who? The daughters of men. And what happened? They gave birth to children that were not normal human beings. They were giants. Not only that, what other attribute did they have? I beg your pardon. No, they were giants, yes. And they were men of renown. It means they were able to do things that ordinary men could not do, because they were the offspring of angels by human beings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, this thing is possible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I didn't want to have to stop very abruptly, so I understand I have 5 more minutes. No sweat. I said we'll finish this on Saturday. We are going to see the Son of God as the Son of God. By the grace of God, you will be able to stand and explain it to anybody confidently. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When this book first came out, somebody read it in the Bible and wrote to me. He's a Christian. He very tiny note, he just scribbled it in. He said, your revelation on the sonship of Jesus Christ was really a blessing to me, something like that. He said, I am a Christian. I have never denied it. He said, but your book has given me the confidence to declare it. Do you follow my point? Yes, that confidence is so important. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me leave the 5 minutes for questions, comments, whatever anybody wants to ask now. Anybody, any questions, any comments? Yes, sir. We bless the Lord. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Glory to God.
My question is this.
Okay, please start again.
Well, we talk of eternity.
Yes.
It kills me in those days.
Yeah.
But coming to the reality of what eternity means, I discovered that sinners, they have an eternity.
Of course, yes.
The saints, they have an eternity. But the NDR of how they spend their eternity is what I think matters most.
That is it.
So that's the clarification I need. So that
you have just said it. You have just said it.
You see, when you talk of eternity, we are always carrying all.
Eventually, everybody will resurrect.
Then I think.
Everybody will resurrect. Everybody will be judged. Some will go into eternal joy. Some will go into eternal damnation. That is all. That is it. So the reason that we're gathering is because we know where we want to be. Glory to God. I pray that none of us will miss it. There was a young man who was having problems with his wife. We had tried and tried over a period of 7 years. Dr. Titilo, you know, one time he told the executive in the church, he said, I prefer to go to hell rather than forgive my wife.
Ah.
So when I came, they told me, I called him, I said, you don't know what hell is. Ah. Allah, why do you love it? Praise the Lord. Yes, please.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sir, I'm really blessed and for the last thing that this preaching, supporting your teaching, I learned something and I began to think for my life. Because that spirit of wisdom, they are always thinking somehow about how will it be? Is it God's intentional heart or what? The creation of Adam.
Yes.
Will I say, or I don't even know, does God's the act of sinning?
Yeah.
I kill you. when he has to agree with his wife to eat the forbidden spirit, the forbidden fruit.
Yeah.
So I always wonder that why it is. Because God said, you know, like us and we do video with authority.
Yeah.
So that place always, I want you that when you can break it down.
You're saying, since God gave him dominion.
Yes, sir.
Why did he eat the fruit?
Yes, sir.
Because he was curious. He was curious. You see, when God gave him that instruction, between Adam and Eve, what's the big deal? Do you follow my point? So God gave him dominion. People say that God made man perfect, which is not correct. God never said that. What God said was very good. The difference between very good and perfect is big. Indeed, the difference between very good and perfect will be the difference between Adam and Jesus. Are you with me? When God gave him dominion over all of the fine things and all of them and the creeping things, and then they said the serpent came. Don't you know that the serpent is a creeping thing? Eh? So we are to know that he had dominion over the serpent. But listen, have you ever heard of a king who abdicated his throne? Have you? Yes. So Adam decided to abdicate. He had the power to abdicate. There was a prince of England who was to be king. And he fell in love with an American divorcee. And it was not acceptable to the throne of England that their king should be married, one, to a foreigner, two, a divorcee. Of course, Prince Charles has just done that now. And the man had to make a choice between this woman and this throne. A French woman. It was a French person now. American woman. But they lived in France after that. He had to make a choice between the throne of England and this woman, and he chose the woman. And he left England. They lived in France. They may still be alive, I don't know. The last time, a few years ago, they were still there. So you can, whatever is your own, you can give. In talking to Jesus, the devil said, it has been given to me. And I can also pass it on to somebody else. Do you follow my point?
Brian says, he sees God in the sign that because God is all in law.
Oh, no. Why? Okay.
I know.
You see, people say, but God was looking at them. But God was looking at them. He let them eat it. Why did? And I tell them, I'm a teacher, secular or spiritual. I teach. Do you follow my point? If I have taught my students in the class and they are now taking a test, do I go there telling them the answer? As I walk by and I see you answering it wrongly, I'll just go to the next. I won't tell you anything. I'll just go on to the next person. And when you pass it to me, I'll mark it wrong. That is what I would do. That's the way to do it. You want God to follow us all over town. I tell people, you think God is going to pursue you all over town to make sure that you don't sin? Is that what he will do? You have a responsibility as one who knows the word of God to make sure that you keep yourself from sin. If you decide to sin, the Holy Spirit will not carry you from the place. No way. Hallelujah. I think you wanted to say something. Yes, ma'am.
Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man.
Yes.
In our image, yes. According to our likeness.
Yes.
Let us, in my own Bible, with capital U.
Okay.
There and then, in our image.
Yes.
Our is in capital O.
Yeah.
And the other one, the capital O.
Yeah.
In this place, I know that God, there's Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Trinity.
Right.
The three of them, they were together in one person. Was it?
Well, okay. We'll touch on that on Saturday, but for what you are raising now, the Godhead, okay, beautiful. I said that there is more to the image than this ordinary form. The deeper thing about the image is the totality of you. Spirit, soul, and body. Are you with me? There are three entities in you. When I go to the mission field and we're ministering to the Muslims, I ask them, you say that we talk of three gods. But yes, they are gods, but all of them are one. I say, as you are sitting now, do you have a spirit? And they say, oh, I have a spirit. Is your spirit you? Yes. My spirit has to be me. Do you have a soul? I have a soul. Is your soul you? Of course, my soul has to be me. Do you have a body? This body? Yes. Is this you? Am I pinching you? Yes, it is me. So how many are there in you there? There are three. That is the fine-tuning of the image concept. Let us make man after our architecture. The way that we are designed. The angels have spirit and soul. Other animals don't have the kind of spirit that we have. Man is a different kind of creation. God is a different kind of spirit. Because he has in him three entities. Other spirits have two. Are you with me? That is why man is the closest creation to God. Because he is God's special image. Are you with me? The Godhead is spirit, soul, and body. The Godhead has a spirit. You know the spirit? Who is he? The Holy Spirit. That is easy. You can easily identify him. He is the spirit in the Godhead. Who is the soul component of the Godhead? Now, let me say this. See, your soul demands just about all of your activities, things you do. It is your soul making your body. Eh? Your soul gives the orders to your body, and your body is just a faithful servant. I don't know where I was talking some time ago. I said, that is why when the man dies, his body doesn't go to hell. The body is just a faithful servant. The one that goes to hell is the soul, because he gave all of the instructions. Do you follow my point? So, who will be the soul component of the Godhead? The Father who gives the instructions. Let there be this. And then Jesus says, when he says it, I can't complain. I just do it. Like your body. Your body has no control over what. It is your soul controlling what is going on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, that is why man is so close to the architecture of God. That is what it is about. Okay. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. The last one? Somebody? Mama? Well, whichever. Okay. Go ahead. Then we'll come to her.
Mine is not really a question, but an addition to what is
okay.
When a brother asked the question. I think one of the things that God gave man was the willpower.
Yeah.
And if we will test anything about man at all, that also is part of what he was testing in Adam.
Yeah.
So if God had gone ahead to influence his thoughts, it would have been difficult for God himself to have assessed him perfectly. Hey, he has done well or he has not done well. So I think it would have been wrong, more than wrong for God to have influenced his will. So
no.
God decided to leave him.
Oh, he has to leave him alone.
So he didn't take him alone to make the choice, and at the end of which God will assess him.
Praise the Lord. Let me say this. See, these books are in three parts. The second one is called Seed of the Woman. The third one is called The Last Adam. I think we should read all three because these questions have been resolved in them. You follow my point? Briefly, the point is this. Frankly speaking, God had to leave Adam to fail. Do you follow my point? Because when God made him, God knew a time will come when he will crash. Because God didn't make him perfect. Adam was our first foundation. But he was a foundation of dust. Do you follow me? Like I said in the book, begin to build a skyscraper on dust. Or build, when you want to build your house, don't pour concrete. Just build it on dust. Do you follow my point? Eventually it will have a problem. So God knew what he was putting into Adam. Frankly speaking, God never sent Adam to be tested by the devil. Until the time that God said, "Behold, I lay for a new foundation in Zion, a stone." A well-tested stone, a very sure one, which cannot fail, and anyone who believes in him shall not make haste. Don't you see God knew the difference between the two? Yes. So when Jesus came, the devil didn't have to come for him like he came for Adam. God sent him to the devil, "Test this one. Are you with me now?" But he never sent Adam to the devil. He just kept it. "Stay here, I'll eat your fruit." You follow my point? I guess the devil waited and waited and waited. Then he said, "Okay, I'll go for the man." Praise the Lord. Now what's happened? We bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes.
I just have to keep in mind that man was not in a village.
No.
What he was given according to the religion.
Yeah.
And as such, it's the foundation of God's arrangement.
Yeah. Well, you heard what she said. Okay. That God gave man dominion over all things, but not over man. But the point is this: once sin had stepped in, man actually lost that dominion to the devil. So the system in which man put man in bondage and used man as beasts of burden was in the devil's camp. Are you with me? Okay, that was in the devil's camp. You remember? God warned the children of Israel how they would even treat their servants. There were laws that protected them. You follow my point? And on Sunday, when everybody, on Sabbath day, when everybody had to rest, your servants must also rest. Okay. But until you get away from the devil's camp, you operate the devil's system. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yes, ma'am. The last one.
I want to ask a question that somebody sent me and he gave an answer. And I just like people to know the answer.
Okay.
I just want to ask if there's any traces of the products of the Son of God by the tears of the
Daughters of men.
Daughters of men.
Okay.
Is there any trace of their brothers anywhere on the surface of the earth?
Well, for a long time there were. They were the giants. Eventually referred to as the Anakims. Okay, the Anakims. But you will see that God commanded that they must be wiped out. They are a pollution. They are not the normal race. I guess there are people who look like giants today, but I don't think that they are the offspring. So people are getting bigger and bigger these days. You follow my point? Okay. I believe that they may have been wiped out completely. I think the last giants that we knew in Nigeria was Alakoko. Alakoku. Giant Alakoku. But you cannot even say that he was an offspring of the Anakims. Yes, sir.
I want to believe that they were not wiped out during the deluge. But since they have the traces of their danger were in the survival, perhaps that's why they resurfaced after the deluge.
But yeah, which I'm saying that they showed up as the Anakims, which was way after the deluge. Okay, so they were still there, and God still commanded they must be wiped out.
Yes.
Yes. They must be wiped out.
They were killed by David.
Will you allow her?
Somebody said, I'm still in Iraq.
Well, somebody said what? They said what? Please use the microphone. In Iran. Well, okay. I don't know. But shall we just bow our heads and pray, please? Let us pray. Let everybody just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just bless the name of the Lord. Let's give thanks to God. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. God has done so much for us. Imagine how God has withheld these things from the wise and the prudent, and He has revealed them to us as babes. Babes. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to just appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. Just appreciate Him. Just bless Him. Just worship Him. Just open your heart to Him and speak the word of love to Him. For He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody among us who wants to say, I want to give my life to Jesus today? If there is such a person, please raise up your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. As many as have need for healing, I want you to lay your right hand above the area of your affliction. If that's a generalized situation, lay your hand on your head. Believe. Believe. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. For by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Jesus, we believe. And that is why we are laying our hands over our areas of affliction, or over our heads. For by your stripes you healed us. And we know that you did not suffer in vain. You are Jehovah Rapha. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. Lift up your hands. Just bless the Lord. It is done. It is said and it is done. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, we bless your holy name. We glorify your holy name. We lift you up, our God. Thank you, Father. Father, accept our thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A clap offering for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.